Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Kane. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's an awful lot to get to on this show. As you've probably already heard, yet another Trump removal from the ballot in Illinois, as a judge there rules that Donald Trump's name can be kept off the ballot. Mitch McConnell announcing that he's going to be stepping down. More news on the Fannie Willis debacle. But the crux of this show is going to center upon the immigration nightmare that's currently happening in this country. And I want everybody to understand that right up until a few days ago, there would have been no reason in the world for you to know the name Laken Riley. She was just a college student going about her life with her own aspirations and her own desires and her future bright and ahead of her. And the reason you know her name now is because she was senselessly and brutally murdered by a man who had no right to be in this country. Much like many others were, this is not an isolated incident. Listening to the left-wing news media, that the fault lies with the campus. We're told it's the campus's fault. There were security lapses on campus. Why were there security lapses on campus? Then we're told, well, it's her fault. Why is a woman out jogging all by herself? Can you imagine the hubris of a young woman who decides she wants to go jogging by herself in the United States of America? Then we're told, well, it's nobody's fault but the killer. That's the only place any blame lies. That is all incorrect, folks. We can have the discussion about security on campus. We can have that discussion. But let's have this one first. Why in the world was this animal in this country? Was he seeking asylum? Was he looking for a better life for himself and his family, that he had nothing better to do than to stalk a college student he didn't know? Why was he even walking around? He was arrested before this for endangering the welfare of a minor and illegal to boot, and what do they do with them? Oh, you just go on your merry way. It's okay. And yet it's his fault. It's only his fault. Well, it's time we called BS on this. It's time we clearly understood whose fault it is. And what I'm about to say to you is not my opinion. It is a fact. You do not believe the fact, then you can Google the fact, or you can go on YouTube and find the video. And you can try to justify it any way you want to if you're a bleeding heart liberal, but the facts remain the facts. Joe Biden, during his campaign, said, if I'm elected president, you all better make a run for the border because it's going to be open. That's what he said. So now I want you to think about that. Let's just take the liberal point of view for a minute. So if you are facing oppression and you can't find work and your family is starving and you want a better life, you say, oh, well, Joe's going to open the border, so let's make our way down there. Do you honestly think in your wildest dreams that along with those people, there aren't going to be a plethora of criminals, drug dealers, cartel members, people who are facing jail time in various countries that want out, heading down there. Do you honestly think that's not going to happen? Do you honestly think the only good quality, wonderful people who are seeking a better life for themselves and their family are going to head in this direction? Is that what you think? Because if that's what you think, then my next question is, why do you lock your doors? Don't you think your neighbors are wonderful people? If your neighbor came into your house, they wouldn't do anything, right? They'd just walk around and say, hey, you home? No, you're not home. Then why lock your door? The simple fact is this. Lake and Riley would be alive today if it were not for the ridiculous immigration policies that this administration has bragged about, literally bragged about. And now that it's backfiring on them, they're attempting to backpedal. They're attempting to say it's Donald Trump's fault, just like everything in the world, from the COVID virus to the Lindbergh kidnapping, is Donald Trump's fault. Because, of course, we take no responsibility. Is that who you want in power? Someone who says, I take no responsibility for anything ever. Is that who you'd hire? If you're a big executive out there, if you're someone who owns a business out there, is that who you would hire? Someone who says, I refuse to take responsibility for anything ever. But would you want someone, would you put someone in charge who is willing to accept the responsibility? This administration will not accept the responsibility. But the blood is, in fact, on their hands, and it's getting worse by the day. It wasn't so very long ago. We saw a gang of illegals attack New York City police officers, beat them, kick them, stomp them. Alvin Bragg let them out without fail, and they fled. They fled. Another murderer fled to Arizona. It's not going to be extradited because the governor there said, we're not bringing her back to New York because we don't trust Alvin Bragg to do a thing. Not bringing him back. You see, folks, these sanctuary cities, for the greater part, were always a lie. The people who had the sanctuary cities were the people who said, well, we're farthest away from the border. We're not really going to have to deal with it. Let them flood all of the red states, and we can turn the red states blue by virtue of giving them a new population. That was their plan from day one, and they don't care if somebody like Lake and Riley gets murdered in the process, because it's not about your safety. It's about their power structure. So, no, they don't care if NYPD officers get beaten down or Lake and Riley is out jogging like a girl should be able to in this country and is assaulted and murdered. A child's welfare is endangered. Other people are murdered. Gangs are forming that are roaming the cities, victimizing people. They don't care. Because the goal was always the goal that I told you when I first started this show. And that is to import as many illegals into the red states as they possibly could in an effort to turn them, if not blue, at least pink. So they had a chance of winning them. That was always the plan. Now they'll sit there and tell you, look at this mother holding her child. Yes, that's one person. No one is arguing that there are some good people coming across the border who are trying to flee oppression. No one's arguing that point. Why are you arguing the reverse point then? That there are evil people, there are criminals, there are drug cartel members flooding across that border too. Why do you argue that point? I'll tell you why. Because it then belies your point that the border should be closed and we should know who's coming across it and we should be able to check on every single one of those people's credentials before they're allowed in. If we did that, half of these people, more than half, 75% wouldn't make it across. Now, I've just heard one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life. I literally heard someone say, Well, you know, compared to how many people are flooding into the country, millions, the amount of crime that is happening is kind of just proportionate to the same amount of the population that's here. If you let a million people in and 1,000 commit a crime, that's about the same as the people that are here. So it's no big deal. Wrong. And I'll tell you why you're wrong. Every single person who crosses that border is a criminal by virtue of the way they've entered the country. They've entered the country in an illegal manner, which makes you a criminal. So no, it is not one in a million. It is a million per million. Every single one. Simple as that. So now what do we do about this situation? Well, not much, and I'll tell you why. Because this particular administration doesn't want to do anything about it. A federal judge has just ruled in Texas that the state police cannot arrest illegals for just crossing the border illegally. They would have to have federal government's permission to do it. They'd have to have the federal government's permission. So what they're basically saying is it is not illegal to cross the border anymore. It is not illegal. They have now decriminalized crossing the border whenever, wherever, and however you choose. Correct? Do you know another crime? Explain to me another crime where you, a police officer can arrest you for it without checking with the federal government. There's not one. They've decriminalized it. It is now not a crime to cross this border at any time of the day or night, whenever you please, wherever you please, for whatever reason you please. And I want you to understand some of the other ramifications. Okay, you're correct. Not everyone is a criminal, but everyone is actually a drag on our economy, and I'll tell you why. They are getting vouchers for their food. They are getting money in the form of gift cards for their lodging. Who do you think's paying for that? You think Joe Biden's whipping that out of his back pocket? You think that the government's just saying, oh, well, this is our money? That's your money. You're paying for it. You know, while you're trying to put food on your kid's table and the prices in the grocery store is going up every single time you go there, you're furnishing people who illegally entered this country with gourmet meals and five-star, four-star hotel lodgings. I want you to understand something. Even the people who aren't getting the five- and four-star hotel lodgings in various states are still overtaking schools that are meant for children. Oh, you got to close this school down. We're going to be doing virtual learning because we need these schools to house the illegals. Sorry. No, you're not going to be able to go into this park anymore because we're making a camp for the illegals. Sorry. I just watched Fox News go into a hotel and try to rent a room where they were told there are no rooms. There's no rooms. When they asked, why is there no rooms? They were told to leave. They said, is this true that you're just housing illegals here and basically nobody else? You have to leave. Immediately leave. Turn the cameras off and leave, to the point where they actually assaulted one of the cameramen. Now, let me ask you a question. If what you did you thought was charitable and wonderful and legal and upstanding, why are you embarrassed of it? Why are you hiding it? Why wouldn't that hotel say, absolutely, we're doing it. We really feel this is the right thing to do, and we're doing it at some loss to ourselves financially, but, you know, we feel this is the right thing to do, so this is what we've done. How come you're not proud of it? How come you're hiding it? Because you've made clandestine business arrangements with the government who's literally handing you over money that you wouldn't be having normally in order to get you to lodge these people. That's what's happening. That's precisely what's happening. And they don't want you to know it. In the meantime, how many homeless people are there? Did you ever hear any of our mayors, any of our governors say, the homeless population is bad, therefore we are going to take some hotels and we are going to furnish rooms for the homeless so that they are not on the streets during the winter freezing to death, so they're not living underneath tunnels, so they're not living in the subways, so they're not living in the doorways trying to stay warm with trash can fires? Have you ever heard that? No, you haven't. Have you ever heard we're going to put that money into more veterans lodging so we don't have homeless veterans all over the world having to hold up signs that says, a veteran, anything will help, to try to get enough money to put some food in their stomach or a roof over their head for the night? No, you haven't. How many times did you hear them go up to a veteran and say, here's a card, here's a gift card for your lodging for the next month. Oh, and here's one for your food. Answer that question. The answer is never. And you know why? Because there's nothing that veteran or that homeless person can really do for them. There's a lot these illegal aliens can do for them. They can become the new voting bloc for the Democratic Party, since they are losing the minorities, since they are losing the youth, because people are starting to realize. Now, I have no idea, nor do I want to politicize, the death of this young girl from Georgia. But I heard her friend, who's also a college student, on the air saying she was such a wonderful person, which I'm sure she was. Such a kind, loving, wonderful person. And it's such a horrible thing that happened to her, and it's we just can't understand it. We can't grasp it. Well, I want you to listen to me very carefully. You voted for it. I'm sorry. That's your harsh reality hitting you in the face. Welcome to the world. You voted for it. Now, I don't know if this particular girl did or not, but I can guarantee you that a large majority of the people who attend the college that she attended are for open borders and let everybody in, and we should welcome them all, and it's okay if more people have to pay taxes to house them. So you voted for it. And you reap what you sow. And this is exactly now what you reap. You're living in a pipe dream world where you think everyone coming across the border is a poor soul clutching an orphan to their bosom, saying, please, we're hungry and cold. It's not. The vast majority are young men who could get a job anywhere they wanted if they wanted. They don't want. They want to come here. They want to come here to ply a drug trade. They want to come here to sponge off the government. They want to come here to do whatever the hell they want to do. They don't want to work. And those that do, well, they're back there in line saying, how come I can't get in the country? I'm still on a waiting list. I did it the right way. You vetted me. You know I'm somebody who wants to come and work, and I still can't get in. Meanwhile, everybody's border hopping. Also, we have these children. Some of them come unaccompanied. Where do they go? I want you to jump the fence into Mexico. And I want you to tell the Mexican government, I demand a gift card for my lodging. I demand all my meals for free. I demand my health care for free. And I want to be put up in a 4- and 5-star hotel. And watch how quick you're chained naked to a bed frame in a Mexican prison. Just like one of our servicemen were who just made a mistake. got in the wrong lane and said, all I want to do is turn around. I wasn't trying to enter Mexico. What did he get? You see, the Democrats talk out of both sides of their mouth because they'll say, well, the United States needs to stop trying to be the superpower. We need to stop trying to be better than everybody else. But then when you want something, it's, well, we need to furnish it. It's us. It's up to us. We have to cut all of our emissions before China will, before India will. Why? We have to fund the Ukraine. Why? How come everybody else isn't? How come the United States always has to do it? Name another country that's giving us money. Name a country that says, well, we'll give you money so you don't have a homeless problem. We'll give you money so you can reduce your deficit. No, nobody's going to give us any money. It's always us. Well, we're reaping what we sow now, ladies and gentlemen, because the border is out of control and has been since basically day one of the Biden administration. And now that it's reached critical mass, and even some of the Democrats are saying, we don't know what we're going to do with all these people. We're supposed to feel sorry for you and say, gee, I don't know. It is a horrible problem. I guess I could get a fourth job so that you could tax me a little bit more. Wrong. Think people, their lives. Their very lives. And what do we hear? That's the fault of the college. It's her fault. You should never went out jogging alone. It's Donald Trump's fault, because, you know, he was born. He'd never been born. At some point, you have to take a look at your policies and say they are not working. The border is wide open. Criminals are piling through. Chinese dissidents are piling through, all of which could be spies, or some of which could be spies. The economy that you say is doing so well has gotten to the point where you can barely afford to buy hamburger. Everyone's going to try to get a second and third job to make ends meet, and guess what you say? Huh? We created a lot of new jobs. You're proud of that. You're proud of the fact that now a single mom or a single dad has to literally work around the clock to put hamburger helper on the table for their kids. You're proud of that. Well, we created another job. Let that son of a bitch work three jobs, four jobs. We don't care. Oh, but the immigrants coming in, I don't have to work. Here's a gift card. Here's a cell phone. Here's lodging. Tell me what sense that makes. And if you're listening to the show and you're a minority, you should be especially upset, because they have really thrown you under the bus. Because when they need to take away the schools, they need to take away some of your good services, they just say, okay, well, we'll go into the minority first. Take the minority school over. It's not going to be Gavin Newsom's lily white rich elite schools that get taken over. No, it's not going to be them. It's going to be the minority schools. To hell with them. We got their vote in the bag. They don't dare vote any other way. I don't know when you're going to wake up. You've been voting for literally the most racist party, the party that thinks the least of you I've ever seen, and you just keep right on doing it. You just keep right on denying it and saying, no, Republicans bad, Democrats good. What have they done for you? Now they're taking the schooling away from your children. Are your streets safe? You feel safe in Chicago, do you, in streets of Chicago? In the minority neighborhoods, are they doing a great job for you? No. They're doing nothing for you. Where's your voucher card for a 4-star hotel? Where's your free health care? Where's your free cell phones and free services and everything else? You don't have them. Or if you do, they're being cut dramatically. Because, well, there's only so many slices we can cut in the pie, right? Now there's millions more who need it, so you're just going to have to do with less. Do with less for what reason? Because if there's no border, there's no country. No country. This has reached critical mass now, folks. And if this does not stop, I don't care where you're listening to me from. I don't care whether you're listening to me from Appalachia or you're listening to me from a major city somewhere. It's coming. Coming. And then when it affects you personally, it's a little bit too late to get on television and say, ah, something's got to be done. My daughter, my son, my friend was hurt or killed or raped. You had your chance. And you filled in that little box that said Donald Trump bad, Democrat good. Because that's what the news media told you to do. So congratulations. Spectacular job. Let's talk a little bit about Mitch McConnell, who says he's stepping down in November. Now, this could not come a moment too soon. But before we all celebrate, let's realize this. He's not going anywhere. He's just stepping down his position. He's going to stay right there in Senate. Still going to be floating around. Who's going to replace him? I don't know. Let's hope it's not somebody just as bad, but it certainly could be. So I'm not taking any victory laps yet. I'm glad he's stepping down, but I'm cautiously optimistic, and that's being kind. We will see. Now, as far as this ruling in Illinois, folks, listen. This is the party that keeps telling you, if Donald Trump wins, it's the end of democracy. The end of democracy is now. The end of democracy is when a state can literally say, we will not allow you to vote for someone. You are not allowed to vote for the person you want. It will not count even if you write his name in. We've decided that for you. Does that sound like democracy to you? Because that sounds like communism to me or fascism. That's not the way it works. I've heard so many people say, well, I don't care because I'll just write them in. They're not going to count the vote. They've already said you could write them in. He could win 4,000-1 ratio. We're not counting them. Does that sound like democracy? Now, the good news is the Supreme Court's going to overturn this. There is no chance in hell that the Supreme Court is going to allow this to take place. No chance in hell. So why are they doing it? When they know there's no chance in hell. Well, they're doing it to score political points. Oh, I'm going to say I hate Trump, and then everybody will love me. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Everybody will vote for me, and everybody will love me. It's almost unbelievable. Fear not on this one. There is no way Donald Trump will be kept off the ballot in Illinois. It's not going to happen. Supreme Court will not allow this to happen. Absolutely 100% guaranteed. Now let's talk about this Fannie Willis thing because, oh my God. Nathan Wade's lawyer takes the stand after having said, private conversations between me and him as friends are attorney-client privilege. And the judge saying, yeah, no. No, they're not. And literally feigns amnesia. Sir, do you remember when you said this? No, I don't. Well, here's the email. I don't remember sending it. But you said it, right? I don't remember. But you do remember getting the text, not really. But it's right here. I see it. But you don't remember getting it? No, I don't. Now, I want to say this. The lawyer representing the opposition, the female lawyer whose name escapes me, could potentially be the worst lawyer I have ever personally witnessed in a courtroom. She couldn't pin down a child. A child during examination. She rambles. She has her facts wrong. She shuffles her papers. She lets them get away with semantics. But when a real lawyer on Zoom questioned this man, he folded like a cheap suitcase. He simply said to him, "Is Nathan Wade your friend?" It's a very simple question, yes or no. Yes, I would say he's my friend. Okay. Well, we clearly see the emails that you sent saying that Fannie Willis was having an affair with him all the way back in 2019. And the word you used was absolutely. Do you remember when you were asked, were they romantically involved in 2019? You said absolutely. I don't recall. But it's right there in the email. Do you remember that? I see it. Well, that's not the question. The question is, do you remember? I don't. I don't remember saying it. Do you think the judge has fallen for this? And then they flat out ask him, so you don't think, you have no knowledge that they were having an affair, so therefore you just surmised? Yes, that's what I did. I just surmised. So do you often surmise about your friends on things that could get them disbarred and face jail time? What was the question? This is an attorney. He asked him, do you lie? Is that what you do? Do you lie about your friends? Do I lie? Yes, it's a very simple question. It's yes or no. I could. This is ludicrous, folks. This case is over. And if this case is not over, then this court should be picketed day and night. Clear they're lying. It's clear they were having an affair. It's clear that she was financially compensating Nathan Wade many, 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 many times more than anyone else would have gotten, and financially benefiting from it herself by taking long vacations with the man she was sleeping with. In other words, they were saying, let's persecute Donald Trump and at the same time finance our little getaways and finance our little rendezvous and our little affair that I'm having with a married man who I'm also conflict of interest hiring to be the special prosecutor. You want to throw Trump in jail? There's the people that should be in jail. They're bastardizing the very judicial system that we rely upon. That's what's happening. This was a disgrace. If you have not watched this, you need to watch it. Because an 8-year-old could take a look at this man and say, he's clearly lying. He's clearly trying to use every form of semantics he can to get out of answering a question. He clearly knows that he's done. And then Fannie Willis, when she took the stand, acted more like a rap artist than a DA for a huge state. Literally saying, everybody's lying on me, and I don't care, and I do what I want, and I don't need no man. I don't need no man to do nothing for me. My father is the only person that's ever done anything for me, and I'll pay cash. I don't need no checking account. I don't need no credit card. Yeah, Fannie, you do, because you need proof of what you're paying, and you should know that if you're a DA. So what's the response? Yeah, but that's a black thing. In other words, if you don't understand it, If you don't understand that I'm literally benefiting from prosecuting Donald Trump, lying about it straight to your face, thumbing my nose at the judicial system and spitting on every part of the Constitution, you're a racist. Are you catching on to that yet? Are you going to let the country crash and burn because you're afraid of being called a racist? I'm not. There's absolutely no fear in my heart of someone calling me a racist for opposing this. This woman is a low-class, lying, cheating scoundrel, and she belongs in jail. Nothing to do with her skin color. It has to do with her actions. Will she? Well, this judge is a cream puff. You can tell. Yeah, he's been a little hard on him here and there. But he's still a cream puff. My prediction is he'll say, well, Nathan Wade cannot be the special prosecutor. There's way too much smoke here. And I do believe that the court was lied to, but I'm not really sure it rises to the level of Fannie Willis being taken off this. I'm not really sure what her involvement level is. You're full of it. If Nathan Wade's not fit to be on the case, neither is she, because they were two together formulating this plan. But that's my prediction. Now, maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. Maybe this judge will say, yeah, this is, forget it. Forget it. Case done. Take it to a new DA. No one's going to touch this because it's such a bogus case to begin with. Totally bogus case. You know how many millions of dollars in taxpayer money is being wasted? I want you to understand this. While millions and millions and probably close to $1 billion worth of your taxpayer money is going toward trying to prosecute Donald Trump for nothing, while billions more is going for illegal immigrants, billions more is going to the Ukraine to fight a war they cannot win. How are you doing? How are you doing? You doing good? Your family better off? You got more money in your pocket? You going to the stores and seeing prices drop and gas drop and electric drop and the price of rent drop? No, you're not seeing any of that. And they don't give a damn. Not one damn. Why should they? You see, they are now all about what I said in the beginning of this show. They are all about changing the actual point where the Democrats cannot lose an election. Because they actually control the people who will vote for them financially. And physically, in some cases. Remember when you were living in your parents' house and they said, if you don't clean your room and you don't go out and rake the leaves, then you're not getting your allowance. Simple as that. So what'd you do? You said, man, I don't feel like raking the leaves, but I guess I will. I don't feel like cleaning my room, but I guess I will. Well, they're just going to apply that same theory and say, hey, you want to stay in this country? You want to keep getting your benefits? You want to keep being able to work here? You know who you got to vote for, because if you don't, we can change that in a heartbeat. And then they control you, and then they own this country. And that's exactly what they have been trying to do for years, and they're very close to doing it now. New York City wanted illegal immigrants to be able to vote. I'm not making that up. They wanted their vote to count as much as you. So what does it mean to be an American? Please explain to me. What does it mean? How about you go to Mexico and say, I'm going to vote? I don't have any right to be here. I'm voting. See what they do to you. How come we are always the ones who are the laughingstock here? Now, fortunately, even a very liberal New York City Supreme Court shut that down and said, no, they're not going to be able to vote. But that's okay, because you know what they'll do? They'll just get more people in there who agree with them, and eventually it'll be like, yes, they can vote. You see, they're playing the long game, folks. They don't care. They don't care if they suffer a few setbacks. They're not playing for tomorrow. They're playing for 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when there's absolutely no way they could ever lose an election, ever. That's what they're playing for. And if a few people just happen to be casualties, well, they don't care. Why should they care? You heard what some of the people were saying about Lake and Riley's murder, right? Well, it's not our fault. The only person to blame is the killer. We did nothing wrong. No, you did a lot wrong. You allowed an illegal immigrant into this country who never should have been here to begin with. When he was arrested for child endangerment and several other things, you just let him go. So what did he think? Gee, this is a country where I can do whatever I want. I see a good-looking girl jogging. Hell, if I want to take her, I'll take her. You caused that. Pretty soon, this country will be in the same shape Mexico's in, where the cartels run it. They're so embedded in the government that the government can't get rid of them. That's what will happen. Or pretty soon, China will run it. They're sending over as many Chinese as they possibly can right now. Now, granted, I'm not saying that there aren't people legitimately want to get out of China. I'm sure they do. I wouldn't want to live in China. But then you do it the right way. I want you to understand something. To this day, when I go to someone's house, even friends I've known since I literally was in grade school, who I have called and said, I'm on my way to your house. When I get there, I knock on the door. I don't just barge in. They know I'm coming. They've agreed that, yes, I want you to come. I still knock on the door. And I bet you do too. Why is that? Do I see illegal immigrants knocking on the door saying, can I please come in? I know you have a system for asylum and I would like to qualify for that. No, you don't see that. You see guys with Nike sneakers and expensive cell phones laughing as they're jumping the fences, laughing as they're walking around. Yeah, we got it made. We're not doing anything. Give me a nice hotel room. Give me this food. Oh, this food isn't good enough. You heard the stories in New York where they were tossing the food out the window. Gourmet food, because this isn't our food. We don't eat this food. We want our food that landed on the sidewalk could have fed some homeless and hungry people who were in desperate need of food. You don't care. You don't care. They're not registered to vote. They can't do anything for you. Disgraceful. There's not a reason in this world, not one reason in this world, we should know the name Lake and Riley. And that's not being disparaging to her. I'm sure she had a bright future. I'm sure she was a wonderful person. Certainly she cared about people from what she was studying in college. And I'm sure there were some people who would have been very glad to know the name Lake and Riley in the future. But we as a nation should not know her name. Because today she should be alive, jogging on campus, going out with her friends, getting ready for the weekend, loving life and living life. And not the victim of an animal who crossed this border because Joe Biden said, if I'm elected, you better make a run for it because everybody's welcome. and then have the hubris to say, not my fault. It's only the murderer's fault. Not my fault. What I got to do with it? Cannot believe that even the most cynical, Republican-hating people out there can't see through this. I can't believe that you're so blind you can't see through this. But I want you to understand something, and I'm not trying to be melodramatic. If that was your daughter, you'd see through it. If that was your daughter, you'd be on your hands and knees today saying, why, God, why was this man let into the country? It's not until it affects you that you realize the consequences of your actions. Well, here's the consequences of your actions, because I got news for you. Laken Riley could be your daughter. She could be your sister. She could be your friend. She could have graduated and done wonderful things, saved a life. Not going to do any of that now. And you have the damn nerve to get on television and say, how come the college didn't have better security? What the hell was she doing jogging alone? How dare you? How dare you make that argument? And how dare you say this has nothing to do with Joe Biden when he clearly said, as he was running, that the borders were going to be open, wide open. Oh, you're a sanctuary city, some of you cities. How dare you say, well, police being attacked has nothing to do with us. Oh, I don't know. Didn't you say, we welcome you all, come on in? And then when they all start coming in, you said, hold the phone. How come there's so many of you? Oh, I see how it works. When it affects you, it's no good. When it affects Texas 50 times worse, they're crybabies if they say anything about it. They're racist. Oh, that racist Texans. How dare they not accept 50 times more immigrants per day than we are accepting? We get to cry about it. It's outrageous if it happens to us. If it happens to them, they're racist for complaining. Every single one of you who thought this is a good idea have a drop of blood on your hands for the death of Laken Riley. Every single one of you. I'm sorry. I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but it's the truth. And it's about time somebody told you the truth instead of coddled you. You're responsible. Your actions had consequences, and the consequences was her life is gone. Now you can do something about it. Own up to it. Don't run away from it saying, that's not true. Nothing to do with me. Should have been better lighting. Should have been better security. She shouldn't have been jogging alone. Donald Trump should never have been born. The time is now. If you think Joe Biden, whoever is going to run for president under the Democratic Party, is going to do anything about these borders, you've lost your mind. Joe Biden is now going to a place out that had 30 or 40 people a day crossing the border, tops. And you know what he's going to say? Oh, there's no problem here. 8 or 10 people a day crossing the border. We have 100% control of this border. You know where Donald Trump's going? Eagle Pass. You know how many people are crossing there a day? Thousands. Thousands. It's out of control. Is Joe Biden going there? No, he's not, because Joe Biden's only going for a photo op to say, I don't see a problem. I don't see anybody flooding into this country, 6 or 8 people a day. That's my policies working. No joke. Meanwhile, Donald Trump's going to be in the eye of the storm. I don't care if you hate Donald Trump with every fiber of your being as a human being. I don't care if you think he is a narcissist. I don't care if you think he is a crooked businessman. I don't even care if you think he's a womanizer or treats women like sex objects. I don't care. what you think of him. If you think for 1 minute that this would have happened under the Trump administration, you're crazy. Of course, some crime is going to happen. I'm not saying it's going to be crime-free if Donald Trump gets in. What I'm saying is these illegal aliens would not have been flooding into this country like this. They weren't. Go ask the Border Patrol. You don't have to ask me. Ask the Border Patrol. They'll tell you, no, it wasn't happening under Trump. It just wasn't happening. Now, can I tell you for sure that Lake and Riley would be alive if Donald Trump was the president? No, I can't. But I can tell you this. The odds are that she would have been. Live with that. The odds are she would have been. But it's okay, because Donald Trump's mean, and he says bad things about Rosie O'Donnell and Whoopi Goldberg. And he maybe had an affair, because God knows no Democrats ever had an affair. No Democrats ever did. Kennedy wasn't sleeping with Marilyn Monroe in the White House. Bill Clinton wasn't banging Monica Lewinsky. None of that ever happened. There was none of that. Democrats don't do that. Pissing on my leg and tell me it's raining. I'm done with it now. You're all partially responsible for that if you voted Democrat and you voted for these open borders. You're taking money out of your own children's mouth. You're taking money out of your own pockets. You're working harder to support people who want to murder you, a lot of them. I'm not saying all of them. See, this is the Democrat game, too. They'll say, oh, they're saying everybody's a murderer. No, I'm not. I'm fully aware that there are many people who just want to come here because it's a wonderful country and say, this is where I want to raise my family. This is where I want to work. I aspire to open a business maybe one day and be a productive member of this society. I love the United States and what it stands for. I get that. But then the first thing you need to do, if you love the United States and you love what it stands for, then the first thing you need to do is obey its laws. And the law says you can't come across the border illegally. I love Disneyland. I love everything about Disney World. I love the rides. I love the attractions. I love how it makes children smile and laugh, and it brings families together, and it's a wonderful place. I can't jump the fence for free. If I don't have the money to get in, then I can't get in. They're not going to say, well, you love it, so come on in. He sure does love it. He's a nice guy. Just wants to make his kids smile. They don't have the money. You'll be arrested. So it doesn't matter if you're a good person who loves the country. If you are that, and I'm sure there's a lot of you who are, honor this country by saying, I'm going to do this the right way so that my first act coming into this country is respecting its rules and its laws. Because then that does show me you're a good person. That shows me you're here to try to help this country. And Lord knows, we welcome you. I don't welcome the man who killed Riley. Monster. Who crossed this border for no other reason than to continue doing whatever the hell he wants to do and thinking he's above the law. He didn't know her. He just saw her. And because he's an animal instead of a human being, he says, I want her. I'm taking her. If I have to kill her, I have to kill her. I don't care. What do I care? Nothing to me. I see what I want. How about if he sees your daughter? How about if he saw your wife, your girlfriend? Then is it different? I think it is. I think you all better do some soul searching on this, folks. Because you have been convinced that if you're not for open borders, you're a racist. That is a lie. That is a straw man argument. It's a lie. You've been convinced if you can't, they can't take more of your tax dollars to support these people, you're a racist. That is a lie. You know, we were told, well, the United States is one big family of people. Okay, if we're one big family of people, then take care of your family first. If we don't have enough money to feed the homeless, if we don't have enough money to house the homeless, if we don't have enough money to house and feed our veterans who fought and died, some of them, for this country, then we don't have enough money to spend on illegal immigrants who want to rape people and beat up police officers. We don't have enough money for that. I would love to feed the world, you know. I would love to say, well, no one should go hungry. Do you think for 1 minute that the idea of anyone starving thrills me? I would never, ever want to see anyone starving. But at the end of the day, folks, I can't say, well, I don't know. We're just going to have to make the amount of food that I can afford to buy go farther because, or guess what? You're going to have to go without tonight. If you got, let's say you got kids, you're going to tell your kids tonight you go without dinner because we have to feed someone who doesn't have any food. Tomorrow you go without dinner because we have to feed someone who doesn't have food. You're not going to do that to your children. That's your family. Family has to come first. And that's an honorable way to think. I'll do what I can after my family is taken care of. The United States is my family. We need to take care of the people here first. Then, if we have the means to do it, yes, help whoever you can. Family first. That's the way it has to be. So no, I don't look at someone like Lakin Riley and say, just some college student from Georgia, I don't know her. That's my family. She's an American. And she was taken from us for no reason by someone who's not my family and had no reason to be here. You can change that. But first you got to change the way you vote. Even if it leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Marcus Kane, as I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.